Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure on this Saturday, May 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2014. Seems like I always run out of something to say right there.
Yeah, well, we've said the date.
We said who we are. We've said where, at least. We're on, well, the KTEM thing came a little earlier.
Yeah, so. So we have now established that they're listening to a station. And then
where the people are cognitive as to their location and identity.
Yes.
Yeah. And the date. We even know when it is.
Why else would we need to say anything? I mean, we think we're pretty well done.
We should give a disclosure here.
Okay.
The Personal Wealth Coach is not just a radio show. Wait, there's more. Gensu Knives.
No Gensu Knives.
No Gensu Knives? No, okay.
No. Liability issues.
There's liability issues. the Personal Wealth Coach is also in business, at least during the weekdays, in the business of managing investment portfolios from their office. Our office? It's office.
They being
it
us.
It would be an it, yeah.
We being them.
It is it. It's office. Office says in Salado, Texas, that metropolis in the midst of the Texas prairie. You like that?
I'm not sure it's in the prairie.
Well, you know, it's pretty flat around there. I mean, it's not like it's mountains or something. It's not really into the hill country, so what do you call it?
Scrub?
Oh,
prairie, I see.
And the beautiful Texas scrublands.
There we go. The scrublands.
The beautiful centrist Texas. No, it's not scrublands. It's like trees around.
Full disclosure here. Those are called scrub oaks.
No, they're not. They're called live oaks, except when they're dead.
Right.
And then they're called dead oaks.
Okay? Dead live oaks.
Well, some of them, they mostly cut down the dead live oaks, so now it's live oaks.
All right. So what are we going to talk about this week?
We have to talk about something?
No, we don't have to talk about anything. We could just continue to.
We could start off
scare the listeners away.
Weak construction data raises risk of forced first quarter U.S. decline.
Well, we have GDP numbers that came out for the first quarter.
0.1%.
Yes. 0.1%.
Yes, it grew. The gross domestic product of the United States, seasonally adjusted on an annualized basis, don't you love that, grew at 0.1% during the first quarter, according to the initial release by the Commerce Department this week.
So we increased by 1/1,000th.
No, 0.1% on an annualized basis, but
right.
You really have to divide it by 4, so that's actually 0.25%.
It's been annualized.
Now, the 0.1 is annualized, but it's actually...
Right. So when I say 1/1,000th, 1% is 1/100th, right? We're doing fractions. And 1/10th of that is 1/1,000th.
Yeah, well, it's 1/4 of 1/1,000th.
It's right. So we're actually talking about very, 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 very small growth.
Of our tiny growth. And
in fact... error rate is generally in, I don't know, 4 or 5/10ths of a percent. So we could have had anything from 0.6% growth all the way back down to negative 0.5.
But that's the point in this article that was in the Wall Street Journal. That if you take a look at the data that's come in after their cutoff for their initial estimate, when they do a revision.
Uh-huh.
Very high probability they're going to come back in to the first quarter and say, nope, we actually declined. We shrunk. Oh, negative growth. I'm sorry.
Negative growth. Yes. We don't talk about shrinking around here. We are economists. We call it negative growth.
Growth, right.
Which no one ever is actually able to see. What is negative growth?
I've seen it.
We're just being more complex than saying shrink. Okay. So we've been pretty upbeat on the economy.
But that kind of crosses over to... the psychologist area, so we stay away from
shrinks.
We don't say shrinks.
Yeah,
so right.
Or psychiatrists, yes. We've been pretty upbeat on the economy.
Still am.
Still are.
Still is.
It's M is, R was, all
yes,
of those
got that.
Together.
D, all of the above.
Yes. And yet the numbers come out and they seem to speak to us and say, this is not correct.
Numbers speak to you?
Yeah, well, they do, actually. They speak to me in little voices and, yeah.
And when did you first discover that the numbers were talking to you?
Look, we already got back to shrinks. You did this on purpose.
Okay, we're not funny. Remember,
we are not funny.
Funny.
Right.
Stop trying to be funny.
This is horrible.
Yes, we should be, remember that this is the drismal.
The dismal science.
Yes.
Okay, so having said all of that, why is it that we still think the economy is in good shape when we have such abysmal growth and maybe shrinkage?
Yeah, but we didn't have some bismal growth. We had abysmal growth.
Just one. One bismal, abysmal growth.
Right, right. That's the indefinite article.
Though. Right, yes. We need some more definiteness in our articles.
Right, it could be the bismal growth.
There we go. Okay. The reality is that, okay, housing starts are starting up, but new house sales have dropped.
Right.
So
we're going to have more empty houses.
So here we go. We're trying to put all the confusing data out on the table mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. beginning so that we can explain it a little bit and make it not so confusing.
Yeah, but we can't put it out on the beginning because this is the weekend. You have to wait till Monday to have a week beginning.
But one of the days in the weekend is the beginning of the week.
Well, that's only a matter of opinion because on Monday, everybody will come in and they say, how was your weekend? Nobody asks, how was your week beginning?
This is true. But so we do know that Sunday starts the week.
I don't think so. I think it's Monday.
That's not what the calendar says.
Well, some calendars have changed now.
Do calendars talk to you now?
Yeah, then
they just start having this problem.
When I got an iPhone and it started talking to me.
Your calendar's name is Siri now.
Yeah, since she talks to me.
Yeah.
However, Watson, this is another, to get completely off the subject here for a moment. Watson.
I'm not sure we were fully on a subject, but yes, go ahead.
You know about Watson?
Elementary?
Watson was a computer.
Yes.
The one that beat Kasparov or somebody. You know,
Kasparov.
Well, anyway,
Deep Blue. You're talking about a different one.
Watson won Jeopardy.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And it took up, when it won Jeopardy, I think it was in 2011, it took up a small room, not counting its cooling and power supply.
Right.
It is now the size of, and I quote, four pizza boxes.
Large, medium,
small? Four large pizza boxes.
Okay, all right. Because that's different.
And IBM is now selling them.
Yep.
To
just about everybody.
Data organizations.
Yeah.
And apparently at least three of the organizations plan to make it accessible online through a smartphone.
Yes.
Whatever we call it. What do we call it? Do we call them smartphones now? Is there a name, generic name for those things that...
I try not to call them names because they are beginning to understand.
Yeah, and they do.
They get upset them names.
But it will make Siri look like, as one person put it, the complete idiot she is.
I don't know that she's ever not looked like that.
The point is, this is going to be fascinating. You can literally, it apparently comes built in with an English analyzer, and it talked about all the thousands of, when you say something to it, the thousands of different ways it approaches what you said, because that's what we do in our brains, apparently.
Right.
And it narrows it down to something that makes sense in context with the other things that have been said. And ultimately, it gives you an answer and apparently is right far more often than is wrong.
Right. Well, this is a key here. And this is actually mm-hmm. has a lot to do with why we're upbeat on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a standard, a level, a test that is given to determine if something is artificially intelligent.
The Turing test.
And yes, for those of you who have heard the name Turing recently, it's because the British military and government have just issued a post-mortem apology to Dr. Turing, who killed himself just as he was developing his greatest works. He was a homosexual, but he's one of the reasons why... Mm-hmm. We cracked the Nazis' codes during World War II.
As somebody said, had he been outed officially as a homosexual earlier in the war, we would have probably lost it.
We would have lost. Yes. So coming from that, Turing, in his model, said that there's an easy test, a very easy test, to determine if something is intelligent. And that is, if you can have a conversation with that something,
mm-hmm.
a normal conversation, and not know you're speaking to anything other than a person.
Human. Right.
Well, and that means that there are a lot of humans that don't quite pass that test, but Watson does.
I was going to say, yes, Watson apparently passes the Turing test already.
But what that means for us is that the future is bright as far as innovation goes. The mm-hmm. ability to the same innovations that took place when we've been able to look at the internet and learn things from it, which is to say cats, kittens, and such, that level of growth is to be expected again.
Cats?
Well, that's the purpose of the internet. I think there's two opposing parties, one that says porn and the other that says cats.
Cats?
I think cats made the internet so that they could watch humans watching cats.
Oh.
Anyway, that was kind of a side note, but
okay,
the innovations that have happened besides porn and cats on the internet have been pretty amazing. The communication issues, just about every work environment is touched by the internet. If you've got emails or if you've got some kind of schedule or something, or emails or females,
right.
They're all touched by the internet. You come at that, and we're recognizing even today changes that are taking place, that cloud computing, that sort of thing. When you take an artificial intelligence and give it the ability to help us solve issues that we're working on smaller levels.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a big change.
One of the articles I read about Watson, they said they're likely to call him Dr. Watson because one of the things that's already being, he's already, apparently the computer's been bought and it's gobbling up the data, is to do diagnostics over your smartphone so that if a mother at 3 o'clock in the morning has a child that's sick, she said, "My child is sick. What should I do?" And this is where it goes. It starts asking questions about the symptoms that the child has.
Right.
And tells her what to do.
Yeah.
And the point is that they ran a test against actual pediatricians and Watson. And the pediatricians didn't do that well at catching the, because when they set the problems up, they knew what the problem was. They knew what symptoms were going to be expressed by, you know, yeah. the child who can't talk about them.
Right.
But the symptoms that the child was going to have that are observable. And the physicians, the pediatricians, were asked to estimate the probability of what the child had and what should be done about it. And apparently Watson beat the pediatricians. This is over the telephone. They're not looking at the child.
I can hear something happening across the airwaves right now. People are. Moment to remind everyone out there, anyone who's ever watched Jeopardy, the people that win Jeopardy tend to be pretty smart people.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the champions of Jeopardy coming back, people that have won multiple rounds this, they are almost by definition very smart people.
Mm-hmm. They're also intelligent.
Yes, intelligent as well. You put them up against Watson.
He kicks their butt.
And Watson wins.
Mm-hmm.
Because Watson is dealing with all of the data.
Faster than they are.
And this is something in behavioral economics that is actually based in psychology here. Are very fallible. Even people that have great memories have very fallible memories.
I don't remember reading anything about that.
And exactly. what were we talking about again?
Actually, I do, but
this is an example, and I've used it on you, I think. So, but it's a good one to use on the radio, the people listening.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to recall what you ate for breakfast, or if you skip breakfast
this morning?
Regularly. No, not this morning. A week and a half ago. So let's call Tuesday.
Ain't gonna happen.
Did you eat Tuesday?
Yes, I can say that, but I can only say that because I eat breakfast every morning with consistency.
How do you know?
Because I eat it with consistency.
How do you know? If you can't remember that you did...
Because I would remember... The issue is I can eliminate it because I can remember that I would remember if I didn't.
So what we're really remembering is non-events.
Right.
We remember things that don't happen.
We remember exceptions.
Okay. So the exception to eating would be not eating. So we would remember not doing something.
You have got a really good grasp on reality.
So that's what I'm talking about. Computers don't have that problem. They remember each individual event.
Mm-hmm.
We will eventually get to that spot, too. We're going to augment our memories. It's already being done with rats. And if we're not careful, the rats will be running the world. Wait a minute. Maybe they already are.
That's the problem
in Washington.
That's it. The rats are running experiments on humans. Right.
If you'll notice, in every lab, all of those scientists are having experiments run on them by the rats.
Right.
It's what's going on. They're observing the scientists as... Anyway, the experiments that are going on in rat brains... I don't think that we would like to have them done on human brains at this point because it involves removing a portion of the skull and attaching electrodes and wires and so on, and it has this kind of...
I understand they hired some lawyers to do some things at the National Institutes of Health, though, because there's some things you can't get a rat to do. Never mind, lawyers.
Never mind.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Right, so there's like an crane that follows the rat around a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's attached to the brain of the rat.
Right, and it's attached to the brain of the rat, and it's going out of the brain of the rat to a hard drive. And the hard drive is a special hard drive that's been developed based on the way we create memories and the way rats create memories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great set of studies done on this.
Now, the hard drive is opposed to a floppy drive?
Right. They couldn't fit the floppy in the brain, so they had to use a hard drive.
Do you realize that there's a whole lot of people out there? You're getting old, bud, because there's a lot of people.
They don't even know what
that is. It's a floppy drive.
All right, so these rats, they break them into separate groups, not each rat. If they broke rats into separate groups individually.
It's actually a floppy disk drive.
Right. The rats are broken into separate groups. And... there's the control group, and we've got studies going back many, many decades, centuries, on rat mazes. How long does it take them to solve the maze? How many times can they solve the maze after they've solved it? How long does it take the second time?
What happens when you move their cheese? There's an entire book about that.
Yeah, there's lots of books about who moved the cheese.
Okay.
Right. So we know we have a pretty good level of data on how long it takes rats to solve certain types of mazes. Once they've solved that maze, how long it takes them to solve it again? It's faster. And the third time, it's really fast. Okay. So these rats in this particular experiment are broken into different groups. Here's the control group that's just doing the same stuff that rats have been doing in these studies for many decades. They're solving the maze, then they're resolving the maze, and each time it's being timed. And they're redoing it the third time.
These are the classic rats.
Classic rats that are going about doing what rats have done for many decades, studying the scientists as they solve mazes.
Right.
Okay. Next set of rats. It solves the maze and is immediately administered an anesthetic. Puts them to sleep. They go, oh, they're snoring.
Mm-hmm.
One of the side effects of this anesthetic is memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up. They don't remember the cheese. They don't remember solving the maze. A couple of days later, they're put in the maze. They're asked to solve the maze again. Go find the cheese.
They're asked to solve the maze.
Please go solve this. And they say, yes, thank you, I will. They head off down the maze. They find the cheese.
Those are Walt Disney rats.
Right. They have kind of rounded ears.
Right. And then they talk. Right. Got it.
They get to the end
of the
maze.
The Ratatouille version.
In about the same amount of time it took them to solve the first time.
Oh, okay. Well.
So, obviously, they don't remember.
Right. That's not too terribly unexpected.
Right. Then there's this next group of rats. This next group is actually broken into two groups. These are the ones with the stuff in their brains, the electrodes and long cords, and it doesn't look very comfortable, and it's probably unethical at some level somewhere. Hey, how else are we going to know about this stuff?
Right.
And eventually, it's going to be in our brains.
Rats?
Rats. Rats in our brains.
Right.
Yes, that's
that.
What happened to Walt
exactly.
Disney.
Exactly.
It made him many billions of dollars.
That's right.
Hey.
He had a mouse in his brain.
Right. Okay, so one set of rats solves the maze. They've got the thing hooked up to their brain. They're given anesthetic. They're asked to solve the maze. The other group of rats has the hard drive turned on, and they're asked to solve, after given the anesthetic, they're asked to solve the maze, and they solve it as fast as a rat that has solved the maze 5 or 6 times.
Because they're attaching themselves to the hard drive.
Because
they didn't attach them. But because
someone attached them. I don't think they have the capability of attaching
themselves.
Because
they could actually draw on the digital hard drive that's attached to their brain?
Correct.
Whoa.
Now, this is the issue. No other rat can access those memories on the hard drive yet. We don't know how to do that part yet. We can't take a memory from one rat and give it to another. But once this memory is made by this rat on this hard drive, it doesn't forget. It knows how to solve that maze without problems.
So we should get a solid-state hard drive and
shove it in our ear. That's what I'm saying.
Or up our nose.
Yes. So push it through your eye. No. Anyway, that's coming. So just think about when we have Watson sharing space in our skull.
I mean, if you think about how much they shrunk Watson.
Yeah.
It's
a little hard
to
put the pizza boxes in our head right now, but, you know.
The interesting thing is it's from 2011 to 2014. They shrunk Watson from the size of a small room to the size of 4 large pizzas. If we assume, and I'm not sure it's possible to make this assumption.
Are these deep crust pizzas?
They didn't say.
They didn't specify.
They didn't specify. I think it's kind of standard pizza, the traditional pizza.
We need some specificity here.
Yeah, we need specificity on the
how big is Watson these days?
Right, and I think there's a standard size approximate box of, you know, and it didn't say whether it had insulation around it or not either.
So. Yeah, that's true. So anyway, if it does continue shrieking at the same shrieking, like eels.
Negative growth.
If it has negative growth the same way the economy sometimes does, at the same rate that it has been, then eventually it's going to be pretty small. That's a technical term, by the way.
Pretty small. Now, back to the other side of things about being optimistic. Yes, the first quarter GDP on its first run through the Commerce Department grew on a year-over-year basis by 0.1%. Okay. They are probably going to come out. This is a prediction here. Write it down. Jeff McClure is about to make a prediction. We will have revisions to the GDP.
You're cheating. They always revise the GDP.
And, well, here's the prediction. The probabilities are. See, I'm really an economist now.
This is the prediction. Oh, I think it's probably going to. That's not a prediction.
On
You're
the other
probabilities.
Hand, it is a very high probability, I think, that it will be revised downward and there will be a mini panic somewhere because we will have negative growth in the first quarter and people say, oh, no, we're going into recession. Fact, folks, we had really, really, really bad weather. We had cold weather here in Texas. It is affecting, you know, they say, well, okay, but all the really bad weather, the blizzards and so on, were up in New England. Okay, that's beside the point. Here's the reality. I was in a hardware store yesterday where they put out all their spring lawn furniture and fertilizer and all that stuff in February. It's still there.
The fertilizer is?
Most of it is still there. They said they've had the lowest.
It's been cold.
Because it's been cold, and it's been cold all over the United States. And when it's cold and the entire retail industry, which is the biggest chunk of our economy, that's an economics term.
Chunk.
Yes. It's like stuff is running way behind the power curve in the first quarter because people are not preparing for spring and summer because they don't feel like it's coming yet. Now, I'll make another prediction. You know, the first prediction was we're going to have a negative growth first quarter when they finally get done making the revisions. The second prediction, and these are not certainties, these are like the rest of the future, uncertain. Second quarter GDP growth will be between 3% and 4%. Second quarter annualized GDP growth will be much higher than most people are expecting. And the reason isn't going to be something weird and esoteric. It's just going to be an awful lot of stuff that wasn't bought in the first quarter will get bought in the second quarter.
Because it needs to be. Yeah. We've been building up, as it were, a head of steam. We haven't really slowed down. We're waiting.
It's actually a head of snow in this case.
Yes, we built up a head of snow, which makes nothing very fast.
Which makes no sense whatsoever, but that's economics.
Right. On the other hand, we had a head of snow. Right.
Right. And so what you're going to see is a couple of things in the immediate future. People quite scared because the economy appears to be slowing down. Now, interestingly enough, here we cruise into the first month of the second quarter, which for those of you who don't keep up with such things, that's April. 200 and here we are going into May, and we just had 288,000 jobs added, and the unemployment rate dropped by 0.4%.
Right.
Now, a lot of people are poo-pooing the unemployment rate drop, saying, yeah, but 800,000 people dropped out of the labor market.
You said poo-poo.
Yes, I did.
That's gross.
No, it's not.
Okay, yeah, so back to the labor market. I'm going to ignore the fact that you said poo-poo when talking about it, because the labor
demand... You've said it more often than I have. we're trying to be funny again.
Yes,
this is dangerous.
It's horrible. We do have to play some commercials, but before we do that, I would like to give a reference. People hear us talking about science and such and saying, oh, yeah, right.
You're going to give a reefer.
I am. Journal of Neural Engineering. There you go. University of Southern California.
I am sure we will have all of our listeners immediately subscribing.
Jumping right in. Wake Forest University and University of Southern California. Those are the folks that did the rat brain study. So there it is.
Did you find it, New Scientist?
I did not, actually.
Oh, okay.
That was one that
I submit to them or something.
Popular Science is where I got that, but I tend to like to read into the journal areas.
We're going to make – this is the Personal Wealth Coach, by the way, with Jeff and –
Jake. Wait till I took a sip, then you guess.
No, actually, you started taking it. Never mind.
Right.
Okay. McClure.
Yes.
And we're actually here at KTEM today, if today is May 3rd. If it's not, it's May 3rd, 2014. We're here. If you're listening to it and it's not May 3rd, 2014, we're somewhere else. But if it is May 3rd, 2014, where you are, then you can give us a call on here at 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And meanwhile, we are going to be shameless capitalists and capitalist running dogs and all that kind of stuff, and play a bunch of comical commercials for KTEM. And we'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone numbers in here really haven't changed, but we're going to tell you again because the numbers were talking to Jake during the break.
Yes, and because we know that all of our memories are fallible unless you are a rat working at Wake Forest or at the University of South Carolina.
With the top of your skull removed.
Right. If you are one of those rats, then you don't need us to say the numbers again. Everyone else probably does.
Right. 773-1400 is the telephone number from East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400.
And let's see what else happened this week. We got a lot closer to war in, I say we.
We.
Meaning the.
The French.
No.
They say we a lot.
Mais oui.
Mais oui. Ouais.
Mais oui go to war. Now, the Russians are apparently somebody is reading the rise and fall of the Third Reich, and they haven't gotten to the fall yet. They're still working on the rise. Oh, this worked. Oh,
look at all the success.
Oh, yeah, and they won't do anything if we do it this way. And apparently it's working quite well.
Well, this morning observers were released.
Yes, the observers were released. And you notice who was the hero that released them? Who actually went and directly negotiated with them. It was a Russian, a senior foreign ministry.
Right.
Equivalent of like the undersecretary of state or something, went and negotiated and got these European observers released and became the real hero of the day.
Right.
In other words, you kidnap somebody and then you release them and declare yourself a hero.
Right.
And... again, classic. By the way, this happened in 1930, I'm thinking 37, 36, 37, the same type of thing
the
happened.
Germans showed up and said, you should release these people.
Right. And this is an interesting thing. It, of course, in eastern Ukraine, it is local partisans only. The Russians have nothing. They've insisted again they are providing no military support to these people whatsoever.
Right. They and just have very, very nice-looking uniforms and these guns and such.
These local partisans, who, by the way, have to ask locals what building they're supposed to be taking over because they don't know where they are, these local partisans had apparently surface-to-air anti-aircraft missiles that they apparently had made in their basements or something. You know?
Convenience stores, 7-Elevens, you. No.
The Ukrainian 7-Eleven.
You know, the back area where it says employees only.
Right. They keep
surface-to-air missiles. That's why it's employees only.
Heat-seeking, high-tech surface-to-air missiles back there.
Why not? I mean, you never know on a given weekend in Ukraine whether you need to shoot down a helicopter.
I suppose. I mean, that could be it. And there, you know, the local militia using homemade weapons that are all appear exactly the same and are happen to be the weapon, this exactly the same weapons that the Russian army uses.
Now, there is an American journalist still being held against his will over there from Vice.com, which is, by the way, there's a lot of counterculture stuff on it, but it is a very, very good source for actual news that's still going on that most people are completely ignoring.
And so they're holding this guy?
They're holding him. He speaks Russian fluently. He's a Ukrainian American, and he's done the best stories on Ukraine that I can find anywhere were by this guy. I mean, he was there.
Well, that's probably why they target him and they're not allowing him to write any more stories.
Yeah, well, one of the problems is that Western media has been doing a very one-sided telling of this story. The Russians have some truth in their statement, otherwise they wouldn't be able to sound as indignant as they are. There are right-wing extremists in Ukraine. And this fellow was doing, way back before the Russians got involved at all, he was looking at who makes up the Maidan, which is what they call the courtyards that everybody was gathering in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interviewing and he was taking pictures of the weaponry, the hand weaponry, the clubs and things that they were holding. But up to that point, they had made a big point of not doing lethal. And the reason why the former president left is because of snipers and so on. Anyway, it's a little bit closer to home in more ways than one, in that the Vice reporter that is being held against his will by the Russian-supported or supporters. I have a Vice reporter staying in my house this weekend.
You do?
I do. He's here. One of the things that they cover is war, and another thing they cover is music, and their Psych Fest is going on in Austin.
Think about that for just a moment. War and music.
War and music and that sort of thing.
He's not from Ukraine, though.
No, he's not. And he's a very nice guy.
Well, okay.
But the concept of a very nice guy like this guy being held against his will because he's reporting so that the Americans can know what's going on over there, it's generally, well, I mean, that's not the act of a very nice group of people.
No, there's distinct the fact that the mayor of one of the towns they took over was found having been very thoroughly tortured and then shot. Probably would indicate that the people who are taking over there are not.
They're not very nice people.
They're not just altruistic, wonderful, kind, gentle, loving Greenpeace peaceniks or something.
Right.
Like that.
That's no. Yeah.
Well, you know, the reality is that Russia is making a move. The Economist probably has the best coverage on it, I think, at least, of anything I've read.
BBC is also pretty good. Good British. They've got interests over there.
And there is one of these high probabilities that Russia is going to maneuver around. We'll finally get tired of the noise over there, and they will just kind of quietly move in and take over.
That's what they did in Moldova.
If that happens, there is a probability you will see the stock market indices take a temporary nosedive.
I don't know. If they do it the way they did in Moldova, there's not going to be any news about it. It's just going to be a non-event.
It would be a non-event.
If they do it like Georgia, right, then we'll have a nosedive in the stock market.
I think it's going to be an event, not a non-event, because the Ukrainian military is in there, in the areas they want to take, is already present. They're going to have to fight the Ukrainian military. And they're probably going to whip them pretty thoroughly.
That's what they did in Georgia.
But when they do that, the stock market, this is for investors' use only, is going to take a nosedive. Now, don't try to time it. Don't try to get out. This is my advice to everyone concerned. There's a very good article.
Just put your seatbelt on.
I think it was in Real Time Economics that went back over the history of what happens in crises like this. We get a nosedive on the front end, including 9/11. We get a nosedive on the front end, but if anything, it's a buying opportunity, because inevitably, I know this is going to sound disgusting, it is, it's good for the economy. Meaning, for example...
Americans function well when they're angry.
Well, we function well when we're angry. Also, one of the drags in the economy right now, a major drag, is that over the past several years, even though employment is now higher, for example, if we go back to 2007 when employment was at its highest, 2007, 2008, the actual number of jobs in the United States, civilian jobs today, there are actually more people working today than there were before the recession. Now, we haven't accounted for all the people who came into the workforce, but we are at least in a position where we're actually employing more people and paying them more money in the United States than we did before the recession. Governmental employees, on the other hand, have declined since the beginning of the recession by 2.3%. Now, it doesn't sound like much. That's a lot of people when you consider that about 20% of the people in the United States work for some form of government.
Yeah, it's the number one employer.
So one of the big drags, and of course particularly the right wing in the House of Representatives, very pleased to see government jobs disappearing across the board. But the point is, this is my point here, if Russia invades Ukraine and continues to be...
Wait a minute. Yeah. If...
No, no, if. When again, Russia finishes...
Again, invades Ukraine. Another part of Ukraine.
If Russia invades some more into Ukraine, because they have already invaded Ukraine and annexed part of it.
Right.
See, that's the whole psychological issue.
We're like, if they invade Ukraine, they just did.
It was Crimea, but no, they did. No,
they did already.
They denied being there until after it was part of Russia.
When it was Russia, they invaded it.
They acknowledged after it was Russia that they had troops in there, but it wasn't invading Ukraine, because when they finally acknowledged that the troops were there,
it's like grandfathering
It was already part of Russia, therefore they didn't invade Ukraine.
Well, according to the law,
you know where lawyers go,
right?
You got to admire the diplomacy, though. They're calling an emergency meeting of the Security Council of the United Nations. The Russians are
right. The Russians, they called it a retroactive invasion.
Oh.
They weren't Russians until it was Russia, and then they were Russian troops before it was Russia. Anyway, so they're calling an emergency meeting.
So it was a lot of deserters from the Russian army who went in there,
and immediately were taken.
Joined
right
after it became part of Russia.
Yes, they were volunteers for the Ukraine.
For got the
Ukrainian
it.
Right. Folks.
Militia.
Somehow.
Right. Got
That's it.
Okay. You got to admire that guy.
It's a retroactive invasion.
He really understands how to confuse us to the point we don't know what we're doing.
Right. It was like, wait a minute. They are, but they're really not. They're not while it was going on, but when it's done, they were. Right. Okay. So they're calling an emergency meeting.
They could go to work in Congress.
they really
Maybe
could.
That's where he learned it. I didn't vote for it until I voted against it.
After that, I voted for it.
And then I voted for it, but I voted for it before I voted against it, before I voted for it. Therefore, I said I voted against it, I was telling the truth.
And what I will tell you is wait, how do you feel about it? Well, I feel that way.
I think Putin is running. Whoa. Was one of Putin's parents maybe like an American or something?
No.
He could run for president?
No. No.
He could run for the Senate.
I think he would rather be president of the United States through other means.
He just wants peace.
Just a piece of this country, a big piece of this country.
You know, we laugh about this, but the good news is on the other side of an invasion, not that there hasn't already been one, the market will inevitably throughout history, it busts us out of the doldrums, and all
right.
of a sudden we're doing a lot better. We have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go
morning,
ahead.
Guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
On the potential stock market drop.
Right.
If Russia invades Afghanistan.
Again.
No. It's not if. It's when they do some more.
If
Ukraine.
If that does happen, what or which sectors of the market do you think will take the biggest hit?
The whole thing.
Of those, which do you think has the greatest potential to bounce back if someone wanted to buy in for, excuse the term, quick buck?
We recommend highly against that. If you're going to buy in, buy in when it's already dropped, but don't sell first.
I would suggest that over the long term, the issue is to figure out what companies are doing a lot of business with Russia, and they probably will not recover
them.
As well as
yeah.
the ones who aren't. Does that help any?
Yeah. The whole thing about business with Russia, let me say some things right now. I'm going to come out and say this just...
Say it.
Kaspersky antivirus. If you have it on your computer,
get rid of it.
It's a Russian antivirus company. And if you think that the NSA are the only folks that are listening to the internet, if you think that the guy that's in charge of Russia didn't have anything to do with the KGB and doesn't like to read internet emails...
Wait a minute. Snowden asked him directly...
Correct.
On television.
And he answered, no, we don't do that.
Of course not. We don't monitor electronic communications.
Why would we do that?
That's invasion of privacy. That is invasion of privacy.
We only invade countries, not privacies.
Right. Got it.
So Kaspersky antivirus is a very, very high quality antivirus. It's also the company that notified the Iranians.
That we were... messing with their nuclear weapons program.
Right, that we and the Israelis had put a virus in their nuclear weapons machines.
And this is the big thing, folks.
Offline.
Kaspersky antivirus folks are Russians.
And they look at all of the files on your computer, and you tell them to.
You pay them to use your computer to fight things they don't like. And they are apparently a favored company by Vladimir Putin. He
yes.
likes them. He thinks very highly of them has complimented them on several occasions. It's when they are owned by one of the oligarchs oligarchs that are his buddies.
Either one sounds like a sound a frog makes.
I tell you what is really weird. In order to get to or from the International Space Station, the Americans have to go to Russia and ride a Russian rocket ship
right.
to and from.
Well, you know that...
That was one of the dumber moves we have ever made.
The Foreign Ministry of Russia made an obscure reference to that.
Yes, they certainly did.
That we're putting our astronauts in danger
yes.
by putting sanctions on them for invading countries.
Yes, they definitely made the comment that... Because one of the threats is that we will cut off rocket technology transfers to and from Russia. And by the way, SpaceX and some other folks buy a lot of their stuff from Russia.
Right. Well, one of the good things about SpaceX, they do buy some stuff. They have equipment manufactured there. But we have the capability
yeah.
of making it here.
Yeah.
And we can put a capsule very much like the Soyuz capsule on a SpaceX rocket right now. So
we have a rocket that big? I don't know if SpaceX has one big enough.
They have the first rockets that they tested were the really, really big ones.
Oh, okay, good.
So they could go back to those. Now, we can't, on a drop of a hat, do that. It's something we need a little bit of build-up time for. But this is an important thing. We should probably start building up.
Yeah, if we need a change in policy, and by the way, it is one that bipartisanly was dumped, the House... loves the idea of cutting funding for the space program.
Well, the space program is how we keep safe from Russia.
Except for the fact that we use Russia to get to... Never mind.
Right.
We've got to do some more commercials.
A repair on any of our spy satellites or put new spy satellites up, we shouldn't have to...
Russians doing it now.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to play some more commercials, and we probably won't have a lot of time on the other side, but this is still just the first hour of two of the Personal Wealth Coach. So if you want to give us a call, 773-1400 or...
1-866-597-1400.
We'll be back. And we're back. More of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake McClure.
But yes. We are just getting discombobulated here. Right. Something fierce. Well, it's 10:59 a.m. for those of you who keep up with such things. And for those of you who don't, it still was 10:59 a.m. when I said that, which means we only have 1 minute left in the show. And all we can do at this point, this hour of the show, we don't have a show. We'll be back next hour with more. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, if you'd like to leave a message for us off the air for the Personal Wealth Coach, 947-1111 is the telephone number locally. Or
you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at Jeff or Jake at tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com, and listen to our podcast. You can contact us through there as well. And I guess until next hour, this has been
the
great
Personal Wealth Coach.
Truth. It's not just a word on your Fox News station. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM.